Hi, I'm Lena.
And I'm Aman.
And this is Grounded Geeks,
where we make the geek world relevant. Are you wondering why I said it that way?
Yeah, kind of.
Because I'm trying to add some pizzazz to our recordings. You know, pizzazz.
Cool. Okay, so today we are talking about a new Disney Plus anthology animated series called Star Wars Visions. So it's basically, it takes place in the Star Wars universe, and they basically asked some of the top anime creators in the world to create their own stories and episodes. They're like 15 to 20 minute long episodes about totally random things, random characters. There's nothing about Luke Skywalker or, you know, anything like that.
Complete and total creative freedom.
Yeah. Yeah.
To do whatever.
Yeah. As long as it just takes place in the Star Wars universe. So there's Jedis and Siths and all that involved, but none of the characters that we're actually familiar with.
And I would say that none of this should be considered canon. Because there were so many stories that don't really follow the rules set by the universe from the original movies and other things Star Wars related. But, you know, I'm glad, because I think that it gave these anime studios so much freedom to do whatever they wanted.
Yeah. You
know, and write whatever kind of story they wanted, which... Yeah. Apparently was to take every single possible anime trope out there and stick it into the Star Wars universe. I say that disparagingly, but it was amazing and I loved it.
I feel like we were almost like we were given a sneak peek into an art project or something, you know, like, It was really cool. Like you said, like it seemed like all these animators, creators, they were given a lot of creative freedom to do whatever they wanted and whatever animation style. Like, you know, each episode is a standalone. It's an anthology series, but it seemed just like very like, yeah, let's just do this. Let's just like try it. It seems fun, you know. That's the feel, the vibe I got from this show. Yeah.
And one of the things I really liked about it is that all of the episodes really infused a lot of Japanese culture into the stories and tradition and Japanese traditions and whatnot. A lot of stuff where it felt like almost it was taking place in, you know, Shogun era Japan. And the thing that I really appreciated about that is that it's pretty well known, I hope, that one of the main inspirations that George Lucas used to build up who the Jedi are was samurai culture. Mm-hmm. You know, for him, it was like samurai in space, but what would that actually mean? He really templated a lot of Jedi behavior on samurai culture. Now, I don't think, though, that he necessarily researched it very well. I think it was more of a templating it on what he thought samurai were like.
To put it more crassly, I feel like it's such a white nerdy boy interpretation of Japanese
fantasy
culture. Yeah.
white nerdy boy fantasy of Japanese and samurai culture. But either way, you know, that was what it was. And I feel like this was a wonderful nod to that, you know, origin, so to speak.
Yeah. It was cool to see. Yeah. Because it's not like there were a lot of Japanese people involved with the original trilogy. So it's nice actually to see real Japanese animators and creators working on something like this. It's very cool to see their interpretation of.
Yeah. And I think though that even though, you know, George Lucas didn't necessarily have the most historically accurate interpretation of Japanese culture and samurai culture and everything like that, with all of these episodes and their infusion of Japanese culture into these stories and into the artwork and everything, it felt very natural. Like it belongs in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah.
You know, and I really, really appreciated that.
Yeah. It didn't feel like they were mashing together something like completely. I don't know. It didn't feel like.
It felt natural. It didn't feel like an unnatural mushing together.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense since it's inspired so much by Japanese culture. So yeah. What was your favorite episode?
Oh man, what was my favorite episode? That's got to be tough because I really felt like there were so many good episodes and each of them was really, really good in their own way for their own reasons.
Because they're also different too.
Very different stylistically and everything. Like, for example, the very first episode is called The Duel, you know, and it was drawn in this like very manga art style with the black and white pencils and, you know, pencil sketching and things like that. And at the same time, it really gave me this feeling of the old Kurosawa films, like especially a movie like Yojimbo, you know, where you had this lone Ronin samurai sort of wandering around and ending up helping a village. You know, it was almost like, what if we took Yojimbo, turned it into a moving manga and set it all in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah. Like,
I mean, it was great.
That one. Yeah. The Duel was very good.
I think the one that I probably enjoyed the most, I don't know if it's necessarily, I don't know if I'd call it my favorite, but the one that was the most fun, I thought, was the second episode, Tatooine Rhapsody.
Yeah. I feel like you'd say that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was just fun. I mean,
it was really fun. I was like rocking out to the music.
Oh, the music was surprisingly good.
Also, I just love the idea of like, what would a band, like a musical rock band, look like in Star Wars? You know, what happens? And then they involve Jabba the Hutt and it was just really funny. Yeah.
And it was one of the, I feel like the anime My Hero Academia recently, but maybe it's been like a year now, they did a whole musical festival arc where like they're solving problems using their band powers and music. You know, I feel like that often happens in certain kinds of Japanese anime where it's like, I'm going to use the power of music or cooking or whatever to solve this thing, which very clearly should be involving guns or some shit.
That's hilarious.
You know, but it was amazing. They saved their friend using their music from the mobster Jabba the Hutt. Like, what? And yet somehow it worked in that story and it was awesome.
Yeah. It was so weird and random. I think like you said, they're all so different, but I think one of my favorites was the third episode called The Twins, because it was just so interesting. It's about twins, boy and girl twins who are born into the dark side. And I just thought that was so, because obviously when we think of twins
or something,
they were literally like bred. But obviously when we think of twins and we think of Star Wars, we think of Luke and Leia. So I kept thinking of them like while watching this. And I just thought that was really fun. It was an interesting take of what if they had been born on the dark side? What would that have been like?
Also like, I feel like they really went with the whole, I will save you, my sibling thing that happens.
Yeah.
For anybody who's watched Naruto, it really gave me those Naruto Sasuke vibes and a lot of like, maybe I can solve this through talking.
Yeah.
Or as Naruto fans would say, you know, talk no jutsu. His talk no jutsu was not strong enough to save his sister. He had to invent the power move, a powerful move to take her out.
Yeah.
a lot of that.
I also really liked the episode called The Ninth Jedi, which is about the girl who's the daughter of a lightsaber smith.
Yeah.
Also really interesting to learn about lightsabers. I feel like I learned a lot about lightsabers in this series, which I did not know or care to think about ahead of time. So
none of it's canon, Lena. I hate to break it to you, but
none of it, the crystal thingy in the thing.
Only the Kyber crystals inside the lightsabers. That's the only part of it that's true. Okay. But the color and everything on a lightsaber is determined not by the user's use of the force or whatever.
Oh, how is it determined?
It's determined by the nature of the crystal itself.
Oh.
All right. And the length of a lightsaber is manually based on the hilt, the mechanism of the hilt.
So, but is it true though that all Jedis have like blue or green lightsabers?
There's also some canon about there being Jedi with yellow purple lightsabers.
Oh, yellow.
And then Mace Windu with his purple lightsaber.
Yeah, Luke, that was cool.
Luke had a blue lightsaber, which used to belong to Anakin Skywalker, which he got from Obi-Wan. Mm-hmm. And then after he lost his arm, at the end of the second, he lost that lightsaber and then he built his own, which was green in Return of the Jedi, which was green. I'm so proud of you, Lena. You know something about Star Wars.
Why doesn't Leia get her own lightsaber? It's pretty stupid.
She did in the sequel trilogy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
With what's her name, Rey?
Yeah.
And that whole trilogy. Ugh, let's not talk about it. Anyway, wait. So, and then do Siths always have red lightsabers?
Yes. Okay. Yes. And because I am a total nerd, even though I didn't read the Star Wars comics, I did read the Darth Vader comics. And in that, I learned that Sith get their lightsabers by killing a Jedi, taking their lightsaber, and corrupting the Kyber crystal inside, which is what turns it red.
Okay, but what does quote unquote corrupting mean in this scenario? Infusing
the crystal itself with all of the hatred and anger that is manifested by really delving into the dark side. And that basically it's how you make the Kyber crystal quote unquote bleed, at least according to the comics. And that makes the blade then turn red.
Oh, that's interesting. Sounds like Siths just need a lot of therapy.
They do need a lot of therapy, but instead of therapy, they get a lot of power, like shooting lightning bolts from their arm, from their fingers.
Yeah. Is that only a Sith thing?
Like, yes, can only that Siths is do that? Very much
that
of a
so
Sith
lame
thing.
What is something extra that Jedis can do that Siths cannot?
They see the future.
Oh. Okay, whatever.
They get visions of the future.
Okay, which is funny because this anthology series is called Visions, which, by the way, I did not like the intro theme, because for the other Star Wars shows on Disney Plus, like The Mandalorian, Bad Batch, they all They've have that super cool, and that music is so good. Why couldn't they do the same thing for this? That was really dumb. I did not like
it. I think it was a way of making it clear that this is not canon coming out of the
Okay, then change the animation studio style, but at least give them a theme. I was very sad. Every time I started a new episode, I was like, man.
Definitely like, I'm glad this is short.
Yeah, I know. At least they don't drag it out. Jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah.
I know. And here's something to show you how important an intro sequence can be. The only reason my wife watched the What If series is because she loved the intro so much.
The intro is good.
Mm-hmm. She told me it was literally the only reason she watched it with me.
I love all of Marvel's intros. When Marvel was on Netflix, like with Daredevil, Jessica Jones, all those intros were amazing. The Daredevil intro is probably my favorite of all time.
Yes. I think it was the first one that I saw that did an intro sequence in a way that was truly innovative and new and fresh. And then
everybody
started
over that intro. Yeah.
Yeah. And then everybody started copying it, including Westworld.
Yeah. That's true. That was a good intro. Yeah. Westworld had a good intro too.
It was. And it was basically like the Daredevil intro.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, but anyway, back to Star Wars Visions.
I gotta say, yes, I really enjoyed also the Elder episode.
Yeah.
Where you had this Jedi Master and his Padawan go to a planet in the Outer Rims, and they discover somebody who is a user of the dark side. And they end
which they hadn't seen in like hundreds of years, they said at some point, right?
Yeah. 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 And it really gave me a lot of Cowboy Bebop and Samurai Champloo vibes in terms of how the action was done, the animation style, and just the kind of feel of it. Way more Samurai Champloo than Cowboy Bebop, which came from the same folks. I have no idea if these are the folks who did it, but
yeah. What was that dude's deal? The old guy, he was just going around killing people.
Yep. Basically. He just wanted a good fight.
Everyone on the dark side just seems so unoriginal. Like, they're so basic. They're just going around killing people. Oh, I want to bring order to the galaxy. Oh, fuck off. Like, so stupid.
To be fair, that's what all the Jedi are trying to do, too.
Yeah, so it's like, whatever. Very dumb. Did not like it. I get bored by the dark side's plans.
That's what yes.
I mean. Like, I like that episode. The Elder was good.
I would say I get more bored by their motivations, but I love their plans.
Oh, yeah. Maybe, I guess their plans are just
plans are so intricate.
Yeah, way overly intricate. Like, dude, it's not necessary. Yeah, I'm obviously
totally necessary. There's only two of them.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, that was an interesting one. The last episode, Akakiri, I believe.
Yes.
Do they even say that word in the show, in the episode?
They do not. And I don't, which is why I don't know how to pronounce it or properly or what it means or anything. And I'm sure I could have Googled it, but I didn't.
That was a sad one. That very much had like Western, like a vibe of a Western with the cowboy hats and stuff.
Jedi
wears a cowboy hat. I mean,
yeah, it did have a lot of those vibes, as well as the whole like, all right, traversing through the mountains to sneak past the guards type of thing. Yeah. It was
remind me of Lord of the Rings a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. There was a little bit Lord of the Rings there, but I feel like there is this whole thing in anime, but it also very naturally in Star Wars when you look at Anakin Skywalker's story arc as well of doing something bad because you're trying to save the person you love. I can't pin an exact anime in which that happened that I've seen. Like, I've seen a fair amount of anime, but I haven't like seen it all, obviously. Mm-hmm. Like, I like the anime that I like and I watch it and I enjoy it, but I don't like really delve into everything that world has to offer. But I was thinking of, you know, different, like, I think the latest one that I can think of that I've seen is in Hunter x Hunter, where one of the characters ends up doing something not great because he's trying to save his friend, you know? So I feel like that's a lot. That's something that happens a lot in anime as well.
Isn't that also kind of what happened with Anakin?
Yeah, that's what I said. Is being done in this anime style, I couldn't help but think about different animes from which it's pulling from. Yeah. Like in the episode, which I also really enjoyed, Lopin Ocho.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where you've got
a weird one.
These two sisters, one of whom is adopted and everything.
Yeah.
She's got this little eyepiece thing that like brings a thing in front of her eye. Mm-hmm. You know? I was like, in my head at least, ooh, Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah.
Because that's what the Saiyans and all of Frieza's army and everybody uses.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In the all-famous scene where Vegeta looks at his sensor and looks at Goku and says, his power level is over 9,000.
Oh my God. I was definitely thinking of Dragon Ball Z while watching some of these episodes.
Yes.
Yeah. That was a weird, like, at the end of Lop and Ocho, like, what is Lop gonna do? Like, Ocho just sort of flies away, right? Like, what happens at the end?
Yeah, that's what happens. Lop wins her fight. Apparently, there's another thing that happens. I'm going to save my friend by trying to stab him in the face.
Yeah, And now, but then I was like, okay, so what are you going to do now with this lightsaber? Like, that wasn't clear to me what was going
to happen. I mean, it was a family heirloom. The symbolism of it wasn't that she was going to do something with the lightsaber. It's that as the adopted child, she inherited the central family heirloom, which is the main symbol of that clan.
And was sort of symbolizing her final full acceptance into that family, kind of.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
The sister was crazy.
Totally crazy. That family. I did not quite understand her motivations. I mean, I kind of understood her motivations, but then I'm like, this doesn't track. Why are you like a lieutenant in the Empire now?
Yeah. Looks, I was like, that was fast.
That was fast. And this is not tracking.
Right. Yeah. Very interesting. Super all over the place. All the episodes. Yeah,
but every single one of them was so well done in the particular anime style that they were trying to do. Even the episode of Tatooine Rhapsody had this very sort of kiddish style. Where all the characters were drawn almost to look like children.
And like even the stormtroopers look like children.
Yes. But even then, that story had, surprisingly, a lot of depth. Very, very, Scott Pilgrim versus the World kind of battling. Actually, that is exactly what that reminds me of. Not the live action movie of Scott Pilgrim versus the World, but the graphic novel series. The way all of those characters are drawn in that series, very much like Tatooine Rhapsody. Tatooine Rhapsody was drawn very much like that style of drawing, but very, very good. Mm-hmm. I wonder if that song is available on Spotify.
What song?
The song in that episode. The punk song.
Oh, yes. Sorry. I was actually, I started thinking about Scott Pilgrim versus the World and I was like, wait, what song from there? Yes. I wonder. While I was watching that episode, I was like, oh, I need to look this up, whether it's on Spotify, because I really like the song.
It was actually a long enough segment of this song that it wasn't just a clip. Like, they played a whole track.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. And I love that they set it at the same scene from The Phantom Menace where the pod race happens.
Yeah. That's what I was like, wait, is there going to be some sort of pod racing happening? That would be fun to watch. Yeah.
If anything, though, that band performance was more exciting than the pod race.
Yeah, that's that is true. Yep. The pod race is okay. Yeah. I'm thinking of episode one now. That's fine.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Cool. Anyway, any last thoughts, Iman? You want to share?
I'm keep trying to think of a real world angle on this. We don't really have any politics to talk about here or any social issues.
Unless we did like a very, very deep dive on each episode. But
yes. I think, though, in general, the main takeaway from this is getting creative voices from different parts of the world can enrich a universe.
Yes, completely agree.
Not everything has to be very catered to a specific vision, but if you bring in more diverse forms of storytelling, it can really bring a lot of richness, even to a very established world like Star Wars. And getting Japanese anime studios was a great way of doing that,
that was,
and
I think smart. Yeah,
that's something Disney discovered, or at least was able to confirm with with Black Panther, the movie, and I haven't seen Shang-Chi yet because COVID, but I assume they did the same thing there.
We'll talk about that later.
Mm-hmm. We will talk about that later. Just the idea that if you have an established franchise and a universe, by bringing in more diverse storytelling, you can make it richer.
Yeah.
I think that would be my main takeaway from all of this.
I do also think there were subtle references in some of the episodes on the importance of taking care of your planet and resources and things like that.
A lot of environmentalism themes there.
Like in TOB1, that episode with the cybernetic boy. That was cool.
Even Lob and Ocho, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was the same underlying premise there, where their dad was trying to kick the empire out because of their pillaging of resources.
Yeah.
And even the episode of The Bride,
The Village Bride. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Even that one, you know, the whole premise of it was that the people who were native to that planet live in harmony with the environment, and the empire had come in, but then when they were defeated, all of their junk was left over, and you had these raiders who were just stealing their resources and throwing everything out of balance. And that's what they were fighting against. A lot of it, environmentalism, environmental protection themes.
Yeah. Also, okay, I can't believe I didn't bring this up before, but I loved how many women were in all of these episodes. Even in the very first episode, which is called The Duel, which is about this like lone dude that's defending a village against these bandits. And the leader of the bandits was this woman. And I was just thinking to myself, I was like, you know, I don't see that many female villains in Star Wars. Like now with the most recent trilogy, we did obviously see some, but with the original and the prequels, I didn't really see that many female villains.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's not like very iconic villains. You know, you think of Darth Vader, Jabba the Hutt, and whatever, you know?
Well, there are some. Mm-hmm. Ventress, who first appeared in Clone Wars. Okay,
I haven't seen Clone Wars as well.
Not just that Clone Wars though.
Yeah.
Also the first Clone Wars, which was a bunch of 5-minute mini episodes that was actually done by Genndy Tartakovsky. And that was brilliant. Mm-hmm. I think that was probably one of the best, but she appeared there first. And I would say that was my first introduction to the world of Star Wars, where there were female villains and a lot more female Jedi.
Yeah, that's another thing. You don't see a lot of female Jedi. And when I say that, I'm talking about the movies, like the general movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say, though, that in the world of Star Wars, I think that course correction happened a long time ago.
Which I'm glad. Yeah.
Not in the main movies, but with the Clone Wars series. Mm-hmm. And I am glad it happened. And it was done in a way where it was like obvious. Like,
yeah,
of course there are women Jedi. Of course there are female users of the dark side. Like they did it in a way where I didn't even question it. You know? Mm-hmm. It never even crossed my mind. Like, huh, why are there all these women here all of a sudden? Like,
yeah,
it was handled very well. And I'm glad. And they did that sort of course correction.
Yeah.
A long time ago.
Yeah.
I say course correction, but what I mean is fleshing out the world more properly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. No, that was cool to see in this series as well. That was a fun aspect of it, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Cool. But any last thoughts for you, Lena?
That was it for me, Iman.
All right.
We good?
I guess we're good. Let's call this one a wrap.
As always, thanks for listening to Grounded Geeks.
And we'll catch you next time.